Your husband is in the middle of interviewing me, and you've called at a very inopportune moment.
Hi there, I'm Ian Rankin, and you're listening to the Dimmicks Book Lover Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jackie Collins, and you're listening to the Dimmicks Podcast.
I'm Richard Glover, and you're listening to the Dimmicks Podcast.
I am Ruby Wax, and you're listening to the Dimmicks Podcast.
I'm Michael Palin, and you're listening to the Dimmicks Podcast.
You're listening to the Dimmicks Podcast.
Someone said to me, do you think you'll ever grow up? And
hopefully not. That would be very boring.
I'd like to welcome Ricky Ponting to the Dimmicks Podcast. Hello, Ricky.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing very well. First and foremost, congratulations on your career. Now, I spoke to a couple of my mates, and we're all of a similar ilk, and when you retired, it was a bit like our dream had also slightly retired. How's life in the post-cricket era going?
Life post-cricket has been a lot of fun, actually. I must admit, I was never scared of retirement because I knew what I had with my family life waiting for me, but I guess when it's been such a big part of your life as cricket has been for me, I mean, I've been a professional cricketer for 21 years or maybe 23 years. If you look back to when I first went to the cricket academy, it is a huge chunk of my life. And being able to withdraw myself, if you like, and take myself away from the game has been a little bit difficult. But at the same time, to have some normality in my life has been very enjoyable.
Now, your book is a massive book. It's at the close of play. That process of writing it, what was that like?
It was hard work, I must admit. Putting a book of 700 pages together over about 3 years has been a long, but at the end of the day, very rewarding journey. The first thing I've said about actually starting to write the book was the chance to reflect, to go back and think about the early days of first picking up a cricket bat and playing in the backyard and some of the great people I had around me at a young age and influences I had. And you know, the last 15 years, been playing international cricket, you never stop to look back. You know, you finish a game and you're always looking forward to the next game. So the chance to reflect was satisfying and think about some of the great people I met and the great teams that I played in and great players that I played with was a lot of fun.
Who were those influences on and off the field?
A lot of guys around, senior players around the Mowbray Cricket Club when I first came through, and names that won't mean anything to anybody, but certainly names that are synonymous with, you know, Northern Tasmanian cricket, and certainly big names around the Mowbray Cricket Club, and they sort of shaped what I turned into as a player, and certainly what I've turned into as a person. So for those sort of people, I've got to be very grateful.
I noted that you wrote about batting with your dad in a match. What was that experience like?
Yeah, Dad had actually come out of retirement, and he hadn't played cricket for God knows how long, probably the best part of 15 years, and I was a 12-year-old kid making my third grade debut, and Dad wanted to come back and be there to sort of help me through that the journey of club cricket. So and as it turned out, he outshone me. He was the leading run scorer and had the highest average for the entire competition that year. So, but it was great to be able to share that experience with my dad and with my kids later on in life. Hopefully, I can do the same thing.
When you were on tour, did you keep diaries?
I would keep notes. I mean, the thing about this book is that I've actually written 6 or 7 captain's diaries along the way as well. So the recollection of things that have happened on previous tours and through previous years was pretty easy to put together. But it was picking that to pieces even more and telling the stories that we sort of were brushed over in a lot of the stuff in the diaries. So, it was, as I said, a long and difficult process, particularly finishing off the book, because I've been overseas for the last 6 months, and trying to finish off an autobiography on the other side of the world was pretty hard.
Now, your wife, Rihanna, she seems to be a massive influence on your life and also quite a big balancing force, because she's not a cricket addict. Is that correct?
She's far from a cricket addict. She at the end of my career, she had no idea how many runs I'd scored in Test cricket, how many runs I'd scored in one-day cricket, and probably even to the point of how many games I'd played. So she was far from a cricket addict. But, she has been a very supportive and calming sort of influence right through my career. I mean, the support that she's given me and our family through the last 10 years has been quite amazing, to put her own career on hold and travel the world following me and dragging the kids along for the last 5 years is something I'm very thankful for.
Has being a parent changed you, do you think?
Oh, definitely, no doubt. I think I'm a lot more relaxed, a lot more calm, a lot more respectful sort of person now than I might have been 15 or 20 years ago, have a greater understanding of the world and, you know, what being a father's and being alive really is all about. You know, it's not for me what I've done in my career is great, but that's a small part of what the big picture of life's all about.
Okay, as someone that grew up in Sydney, there's a place that you went to as a young'un, bourbon and beefsteak.
Yeah, been there once, probably won't go back again.
Was that, so for those that know, Ricky had an altercation and ended up looking a bit worse for wear. Do you think that was just being someone in your 20s?
Yeah, that's absolutely what it was. You know, obviously immediately after that, I had to have a think about why I found myself in that sort of situation. And, you know, for me, as I said, moving away from home at the age of 15 and in the cricket academy and training 7 days a week and a lot of the teenage years and teenage times that others were able to have, it was sort of taken away because I was so focused on cricket and what I was doing. And, you know, it was sort of after that when I started playing cricket, when I had an opportunity, I would go out and have a few beers with the boys and celebrate. But at the same time, I mean, I wasn't doing anything that the other boys weren't doing. It wasn't if I was going out by myself. But, yeah, that night was a bit of a wake-up, well, not a bit of a wake-up call, a big wake-up call, and obviously looking back, something I'm not that proud of.
You've sort of played in through a period where social media and the media limelight and analysis have become bigger and bigger. How is it for younger players coming through now compared to your era?
Oh, it's completely different. I mean, I've not embraced the social media network at all. I haven't got a Facebook account. I have a Twitter account. That's just the generation that, you know, I'm the generation before all that stuff. But it just makes it harder and harder for the young boys to be able to go out and have a life outside of what they really do. I mean, to go out and even have a beer in a club or a pub, someone's always out there with a phone or a camera wanting to seemingly catch you out when you're most of the time not doing anything wrong. But that's the life they live in now, and the more money the guys make, the more of a target you become, and that's the reality.
Now, money and corruption are things that have also hit the cricket world, unfortunately, in the last few years it's come out anyway. Is there anything that, you know, authorities can do to stop it, do you think?
Look, I know they're trying everything they possibly can. You know, regulating what guys do 24/7 and keeping tracks of their phones and all that sort of stuff is, I mean, that seems like where most of this stuff is being done. But, you know, I know there's certain measures in place now that, you know, once you get to the ground now, you're not allowed to walk into the ground with your mobile phone as a player. You have to hand your phone in and security takes your phone off you and you get it back at the end of the day's play. So, you know, there's certain measures being put in place. I believe through the last IPL, it sounds like a lot of individual players' phones were tapped without them knowing. So they're trying to do what they can, and hopefully they do get the bottom of it because it's one of the biggest blots in our game at the moment.
And finally, do you read at all? Yeah, you're a book reader.
I've never been a huge reader. I've read, you know, a few books through my time. Magazines, golf magazines and those sort of things normally get me across the line, something I can read that I think I can learn a bit about things that might be useful for me down the track. But I've had to be a pretty good reader over the last 12 months anyway, getting through this book on endless occasions and fixing everything up and making sure that what I've said is you know, exactly the way I want it to read. So
what's the future hold for you, Ricky?
Well, I'm obviously travelling the country for the next couple of months, promoting and hopefully selling plenty of these books. I'm doing some commentary work for Channel 10 during the summer on the Big Bash, which will be a lot of fun and something I'm looking forward to. And then that'll sort of finish mid-February and I'll get into some other pretty exciting business things that I've started to create as well. So and a bit of golf and a bit of time with the family.
Great. Thanks for your time, Ricky.
No worries. Hi, this is Ricky Ponting, and you're listening to the Dimmicks podcast.